Hello and welcome to Inspire Me Today Radio. I'm your host, Gail Lynn Goodwin. Today, I am so excited for this interview. This guy, get this, is a professional musician and even a circus clown. Yet he's a mentor to many, he's a hero to some, and he's been called a hippie capitalist in the best sense of both words by the LA Weekly. He's an entrepreneur who treats work as play, is usually found learning how to help people, lives by the philosophy of doing whatever scares you, loves to be on the stage. He's a minimalist who likes not knowing the future and always challenging himself. We know him best as the man who forever changed the way music is bought and sold, as the founder of CD Baby. I am so honored to welcome today's guest, Derek Sivers, to InspireMeTodayRadio.com. Derek, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Gail. That was a fun intro. I'm like going, hey, that's me.
You know him? Wow. Well, I got to tell you, I read your book and I get sent books all the time. Your book ended up sitting on my desk for about 2 weeks, and then I took it with me on an airplane, and I was literally like jumping up and down going, oh my God, you got to read this book. You got to read this book. You got to read this book to everyone on the plane. I read it in, I don't know, 20 minutes. I mean, it's a short book.
Yeah.
But what a powerful 20 minutes that was. Since then, I've bought a half a dozen copies and given them to friends and family, and everyone has said, you know, it's funny, when I handed them the book, they said, oh yeah, well, like, I really want to read this. You know, it was kind of a whatever. And then they came up to me half an hour later going, did you read this? This book is amazing. And they did the same thing. So I just have to say, this book is one of those books that, as far as I'm concerned personally, it's not an option for anyone in business today. It's a necessity. You have to read this book. So tell us a little bit about the book, how it came to be. Let's start there.
Sure. Well, let's see. I think, so I started this company back in 1997.
This company.
Called CD Baby. and it was a hobby. I started it by accident. And if you don't mind, I'll just do that super,
oh, please,
super short version.
Please, please.
Is that
no,
I was
give it to us.
Selling my own CD, as a musician. I was just a professional musician living in New York City. I was selling my own CD, built a little website just to sell my CD. And then my friends said, hey, could you sell mine too? And it was really an afterthought. It just kind of as a favor to friends. I said, sure, okay, no problem. So on my band's website, I hooked up some of my friends. And then friends of friends started calling, and I accidentally started a business. I really never meant to.
I love how you created a successful, amazing multi-million dollar business and became one of the most successful entrepreneurs as a byproduct of doing something that you love.
Yeah, though sometimes it can be a nice measure when something grows, even when you're not pushing it, you know you're onto something good.
Exactly.
Right? So it's a little bit like sometimes I think of, you know, the person who's baking pies in their kitchen and everybody loves their pies, and pretty soon friends of friends are calling asking if you can bake them pies, and then eventually you think, oh wow, people really seem to like my pies, maybe I'm onto something here.
Exactly.
So it really just went like that, and it grew and grew and grew for 10 years. Actually, it grew much more than I ever wanted it to. At its peak, I had 85 employees and I don't know, 100 million in sales or something like that, and it was honestly bigger than I ever wanted it to be. I just wasn't comfortable with that kind of size. So in 2008, I had a bunch of offers to buy the company, and I said yes. And so in 2008, I sold the company. But you asked where the book comes from. Is that afterwards, I felt that there were a lot of lessons I still needed to learn, and there were a lot of lessons I had learned that I still needed to share. And so I started telling my tale, not for any need for attention, but it was really actually done more in this feeling of like the deathbed regret feeling. Like if I were to die right now, I would feel regret that I hadn't shared what I had learned through this experience. Like
I love it.
Through doing this, I had learned some useful thing or things that would be very useful to other people for their own projects or ventures or whatever. So I have to share what I've learned. So I started voraciously writing after I sold the company, and most of it was actually on my blog, I made sure that everything I wrote was the kind of thing that people could sit and read in 2 or 3 minutes. Kind of, I have this concept of that one point per article. If you've got more than one point to make, separate it into a separate article. So I started posting these little articles on my blog on Sivers.org, and people liked them a lot. And Seth Godin, one of my favorite authors,
mine too,
called me up and said, how'd you like to turn those into a book? And I said, okay. That was
it. How cool is that? Well, I have to say, I'm very grateful that you are a minimalist, at least in your writing style, because it made it so easy. You know, one of the things that we do, I don't know if you've had a chance yet to check out our site, Inspire Me
yeah.
Today, but we ask each and every day, there's a different person that we would ask, Derek, if today were your last day on the planet and you have 500 words to share with humanity, what would you say? And that's when you're featured, when this interview's live, your words will be up on the homepage. But it's really interesting. I've had people that are really well known in the spiritual realms say to me, hey, well, buy the book. You know, it's 600 pages and there it is. And that's my advice. And my comment back to this specific person who made this comment to me, who's one of the top known guru types out there, is, you know, the housewife in Iowa or the businessman in California or whatever is not going to have time every morning to sit down and read your 600-page book. But they will have time to sit down and read 1 or 2 minutes of, wow, and then take that with them into the day.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, what your book did as well, which is why I got so excited that I've got to talk to this guy. You know, so I absolutely love it. So I have to ask you, Derek, did you see yourself most of your childhood, your youth, your young ages in the 20s, did you see yourself as an entrepreneur at any point, or was this really an accident?
Both. I think to be a musician is to be an entrepreneur. So imagine this. At 14 years old, I very seriously decided that I wanted to be a professional musician. It wasn't just rock star dreams. Like, I really wanted to be a professional musician, like make my living, buy a house with the money I make doing music.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really serious about this, and I knew it would be incredibly hard work. I know that most have this dream, or that most that have this dream are unable to do it. So I knew that I was setting out to do something really difficult, which is great because it gave me this work ethic. Like, okay, I have to practice the hardest, work the hardest, be very, you know, disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
And if I work really hard, I'll be successful at this. But there were some side effect things that just were a given. That means that ever since I was 14 or so, I knew I would never have a job. I would never have a salary. I would never have insurance. I'd never have, a pension, health care. I'd never have stability. I knew that by setting out to be a professional musician, that everything I would earn would be because of my own two hands and very hard work. Like, there would never
sure.
be a time where just people just give me money for showing up, you know. So that's the mindset I was already in. And what's funny is that sometimes afterwards, people ask me things like, how did you get the courage to quit your day job and start CD Baby? Wasn't that scary?
And it's like, no, I was a musician.
Yeah, exactly. And I look at them like, scary? Oh, no, you don't understand. Like, I never thought I'd have security. Like, so I guess it's a different mindset. And what's funny is, looking back, it's the musician mindset is very similar to the entrepreneur mindset.
You're right.
In that way.
You're right.
So I was already in that mindset. But all that said, yes, of course, CD Baby was a total accident, and I never meant to start a business. In fact, when CD Baby was starting, I was actually kind of upset that this thing was getting in the way of me and my music.
Exactly. Well, you know, I guess rather than – I probably misspoke in the way I phrased that question. Rather than entrepreneurial or not, music is such – at least it seems to me – such a right-brain creative kind of outlet, and yet running a company that's a $100 million company – that's very left brain linear. So that part for you, I'm assuming, must have been a bit of a challenge.
Hey, you're the first person to point this out. I'm going to try a new idea here. That planning a company and business plans and all that may be very left brain analytical, but I didn't actually plan any of it. So I was just helping some friends, and then the thing grew and grew and grew, right? But as it grew, I felt like my biggest challenge was managing that growth.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest challenge in managing that growth was all very human. It wasn't numbers and spreadsheets. It was somebody being upset and somebody being bored at their job and somebody not getting enough attention and somebody – it was all very human. So no, actually I felt like the dealing with the growth of the company was more of a human, soft, right brain kind of challenge. It was very – yeah, it was all just very humanistic. I don't think there was – growing the business was not an analytical challenge. I was just – lucky that it grew anyway.
No. You're not. You're onto something here. And that's where I was going with this. Do you know who you remind me of? Richard Branson.
My hero.
Mine too. I had the opportunity to spend a day with him at his home down on Necker Island about a year ago. And Richard had the same philosophy as far as spreadsheets and numbers. And seriously, he commented, you know, over lunch that he had to have somebody actually show him what the word net meant between gross and net. He just didn't get it. And so for him, it wasn't about the numbers either. It's about doing what you love.
Yeah.
And that's what you were doing. You were solving a problem in your music career. And you solved it in a really phenomenal way that not only helped you, but helped, I mean, you literally changed the face of music of the way it's done today. And so
Maybe it's because I was so kind of tapped into that musician
mindset.
Exactly.
That's my whole point there of where I was going, Derek, is that you didn't sit down and create this, I almost want to say, you know, separate entity kind of thing of, all right, now the accountants say we have to do it this way, and the bankers want this, and, you know, all of that. Instead, it was you followed your heart, you followed your passion, and from that, all good things came to you.
Yeah.
And I just, that to me is the ultimate in inspiration, to see someone successful because they followed their passion rather than, and I guess the reason that this is so near and dear to me is there are so many people that reach out to us at Inspire Me Today and say, I really have this burning desire and this dream and I really want to follow it, but I'm scared.
Okay.
What would you say to them?
Well, I think I've read all of Richard Branson's books, the autobiographies and the biographies. And it seems that he's got a very good sense for, like, kind of an instinctual gut level feeling of, will people pay for this? Could we make money doing this? It's because, you know, ever since he was a teenager, he was really kind of hustling this sale with his, starting with his newspaper or whatever to kind of hustle ad sales and whatnot. So I think he just got this instinct for, like, yeah, this will work out business-wise. This is something that people will pay for, and they will. We can keep our costs low enough to be able to do this in a profitable way.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff just became instinct for him. And so everything else is the people, human passion kind of side we're talking about. But you do still need the you do still need that sense, not in a deep business school, business plan kind of way, but just kind of a quick back of a napkin kind of running the numbers like, okay, this costs us $37 to make this thing. I think we can sell it for $50. And in fact, I think psychologically, if we try pricing it at $100 to a certain market, they might find that even more appealing than $50 and just do some stuff like that. I think that's actually tied together with the fear that people say. When people say, I've got this passion, but I'm scared, I think if they were to see both the right and left brain side of it, if they were to say, okay, I've got this passion, and they were to kind of do the back of the napkin numbers and kind of say, and you know what, I can do this thing, and I could sell it for 3 times more than it costs for me to make it. That actually takes away the fear. I think it does require both halves of the brain, as you
say. Logic definitely plays a big part in, you know, what's the worst that could happen? And honestly, I think the worst that could happen is living a life that's not following your passion.
Yeah, exactly.
Because then you're going to be miserable no matter if you make money or not at what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I guess I would rather jump off that ledge knowing that I do have those wings than hanging out in a life that's mediocre. And so I guess that's what made me really want to do this interview with you, because you don't live, as my friend Gene Houston says, you don't bore God.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? You're doing fun stuff in the world, and that's really awesome. Now, for those, though, that talk to me a little bit about adversity. You know, some may say, well, come on, my life is a lot different. This guy's a rock star. He started this company, sold it for millions of dollars. He's set for life. I'm the one that, you know, I'm trying to hold down the fort here at home, pay the bills, feed the kids, pay the mortgage, whatever. Talk to us about adversity, because I'm guessing that you also got smacked in the face with adversity just like everybody else did.
Yeah, of course. It's why you need to enjoy the process, not just the goal. There are a lot of people that I meet that say that they want to start a business because they want to get rich. And I just have to just laugh. Like, no, you've missed the whole point. Like, that can't be your because. That has to be a side effect. That's like saying, I want to get a car because I want the odometer to say 200,000 miles. It's like, no. Look, the odometer is just a side effect. The point is you have to like where it takes you. You have to enjoy the journey. You want to drive around. You want to look at the world. That's why you get a car. And yes, while you're doing that, the odometer will go up. So with anything you set out to do, you have to enjoy the process. Let's use one more example. A lot of people say, oh, I want to speak Italian. Oh, it's a beautiful language. I wish I knew Italian. I'm gonna get a little Rosetta Stone Italian mm-hmm. lesson. And then they put about an hour into it, and then they go, The problem is that they only liked the goal of speaking Italian. They imagined themselves as fluent in Italian and going through Italy and speaking beautiful sounds with beautiful people. but they didn't like the 1,000 hours of memorization and conjugating verbs and study and hard work of learning grammar and whatnot. So I think you know you're onto something. You're on the right path when you absolutely love the process as well. So, for example, somebody at a party once told me something about the Chinese language that I thought sounded really interesting, and I started learning some Chinese, and I love the process. Sometimes I wake up early in the morning just so I can sit there and study for 2 hours because I just so love, like, learning to write the new characters and learning to memorize some new words and practicing the sounds and I love doing it. I love the process. The goal, hey, whatever. Yes, someday I'll probably be fluent if I keep up like this, but I'm enjoying the process.
That's
so
awesome.
Same thing with the doing a company or setting out to do a business. You have to just love the process, even if it wasn't making any money. You have to just love it. So find the thing that you would do even if nobody was paying you. Or the better measure I like is find the thing that you find yourself staying up late at night doing anyway, losing all track of time. And that's the thing, that if you're doing it, you won't even care that there are hardships. You know, say yes, you're doing it, you hit some kind of tough point. Whatever, you don't mind because you're just enjoying the process.
That is just such great advice. Now, Derek, I have to ask, have you always been like this? Have you always had this mindset from the time that you were young? Or is this something that you learned through the School of Hard Knocks or had a mentor that helped you?
A lot of reading, honestly.
Okay.
I probably have a naturally sunny disposition, and because I set out to be a musician when I was 14 and I knew how hard it was going to be, I always had a really strong work ethic. So whereas others may be comfortable to just kind of like hang out and watch TV, I was that fierce, diligent one, like, no, I'm going to practice and I'm going to exercise and I did this, because I was so wanting to be a successful musician. So I was in this work ethic, but honestly, it was the books that I read along the way. It was, starting with The Success System That Never Fails by W. Clement Stone. I read that when I was, 16, 17, and it's one of those Depression era, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, kids kind of book, and it just turned me upside down. I just loved its work ethic, honestly. And then somebody I really care for gave me Tony Robbins' book, Awaken the Giant Within. I was like, whoa! It just, again, just blew my mind. Like, this concept that you can decide your reaction to anything, that when people say, oh, I can't help the way I feel, it's like, yes, you can. Like, you choose the way you feel. That's not something that you can't do anything about. That's something that you choose. Like, you can choose.
What a concept.
Yes, yes, it was huge. Like, you could choose to be, to feel any way you want about anything that happens. And so, for example, there was this little point in the book that he keeps making, is that anytime something bad happens, you just force yourself to say, what's great about this? And it sounds so cheesy at first and so simplistic. And I think the first, say, 5 or 10 times something bad happened to me after I read that book, I would grumble and force myself to say that, usually kind of after the fact, you know, a day or two later in my diary. But then, you know what, you keep doing it, and then it just becomes habit. And like,
and then now, it becomes sincere.
Yeah, exactly. And so now I'm the kind of guy where, you know, if something goes horribly wrong, I just burst into laughter because I'm like, all right, so what's great about this? You know, so I think, and so just take that and multiply it by 100 little habits and good mindsets that I picked up from the books I read. It's really, I fully credit the books. It's all from that.
It's kind of funny that you say that, because Inspire Me Today exists because of the exact same reason.
No way.
I noticed, no, it does. I was going to the gym in the mornings, and I, on days that I lifted weights, I'd do books on tape. And on days that I did aerobic things, you know, whether it's running or the treadmill or whatever, I would do fast tempo music. And I found that on days that I lifted weights, those days just rocked. And then thought, wow, there must be something about lifting weights. And it was like, duh, you know, I am blonde, but it took me about a month to put two and two together and figure out maybe it has something to do with what I'm putting in my brain. While I love music, don't get me wrong, there's something stimulating when you feed your body, or when you feed your brain and you feed your soul in the morning, that just makes the entire day feel like it's on fire. And so from that, I started buying all these books on tape and all these different CD and DVD programs, and started devouring them, and noticed the change it had in my life, and then started lending it to friends and family and watched their lives change. And that's when I went, okay, wait a minute. I'm this type A personality. I want something new and fresh every single day, and I'm not sure where to get it. Maybe I could help the world have that access to it, and that's what this is all about.
Love it.
Yeah. So do I. And I'm just so grateful that you're here today sharing all this, because you're definitely singing to the choir here. I'm a fan. What else can I say? Hey, Derek, I got to ask you, though, do you have specific things that you do each and every day that kind of keep you on track? Practices? You know, whether it's, you know, going to the gym or eating right or meditation or whatever.
No. You know, it's funny. I heard a true story. A friend of mine met Elizabeth Gilbert, the author of Eat, Pray, Love, in New York, and asked her that same question. And she, with a very straight face, she said, oh, yeah, of course. She said, every day I wake up at 4 a.m. and I meditate for an hour and a half. And then at 5:30, I do yoga for an hour. And at 6:30, I write for a couple hours. And at 8:30, I something, and I eat only organic sprouts and food. And after saying this for about a minute, she burst out laughing. She's like, what are you kidding? No, come on. Like, yes, I wrote a book, but no, I'm just schlepping it like everybody else. Like, no, I have terrible days or whatever. So, no, actually, I think that's something I would like to change in my life, is actually miss having routine. I look back at some of my favorite times in my life are the times when I did have a steady routine that I was in, and I made huge progress in my life by doing things every single day, no matter what. Say for years, I would stop what I was doing at 10 p.m. and practice piano for 2 hours every night, no matter what happened in my life, and made huge progress. And these days, life kind of tumbles me around in ways that I don't expect almost every day, and I'm trying to get back to that routine. So no, my answer is no, I don't, but I wish I did.
How fun. Well, something tells me it won't be long until you do again, if that's something you're putting out that you wish for.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've got to ask, you know, going back to the days when CD Baby was just, when you kind of put aside the music at least temporarily or for a portion of your time and started working pretty heavily on developing CD Baby and creating it into the monolith that it grew into, did you have friends and family at that time that were questioning what you were doing? You know, like, are you crazy? I thought you were a musician. What are you doing? What are you doing this for? You know, that kind of thing. Or was it completely supportive?
No, absolutely questioning. You know, I think anytime you're making a change in your life, you have people on your left side kind of pulling you back, kind of saying, what are you doing? Come back over here. And you have people on your right side saying, hey, over here, come join the club. It feels like anytime you're in a change, you kind of like you're almost stepping from one room to another, and there are people in both rooms who want you on their side. At the same time as I had people saying, what are you doing, man? You're a musician. Don't be wasting your time with this website.
Exactly.
At the same time, though, there were musicians going, oh, my God, thank you so much for helping me out. Now can you make a way that I can see where in the world my customers are coming from? And I'd say, ooh, that's a challenging problem. And then I would do that. And then somebody would say, hey, can you have it so that I can choose to have my order sent by FedEx instead of regular mail? And I'd say, ooh, that's an interesting problem. So there was so much pulling me on that side, so many people that wanted CD Baby to exist, that wanted me to add just one more thing to it, it was plenty pulling me that direction too. So,
well, I love the fact that you did have people telling you that it was a little bit crazy, and my reason for asking that is again going back to Richard Branson. When I was speaking to him, I asked him the same question, and he was one that came back and said, "Oh, heck yes." If I throw out an idea and say, hey, what if we go do this? And everyone says, great idea, brilliant, bloody brilliant idea, Richard. I won't do it because obviously it's boring. So let's go find something that makes people scratch their heads and say, what the heck are you doing? And so I've started interviewing what I affectionately refer to as crazy people. And they're the ones that when you wake up at 2 a.m. with this idea and you tell your wife or your best friend and they say, what are you? You're crazy. That'll never work. It's people that have followed that idea and have built that idea, the crazy ones. And that's why I wondered whether or not if what you did was so accidental or if there was a part of it that was a little bit crazy.
Well, I always just think that I have some rules of thumb in life, as we all do.
Share.
Well, one is just whatever scares you, go do it. There's actually two sides to this coin. There's whatever scares you, go do it, is a huge one. I've been using that ever since I was a teenager, even in little tiny ways. Like if there's this gorgeous girl in the room that I was scared to talk to, I'm like, oh, I'm scared, therefore I must do it. And so I would just, anytime you notice that little fear in your gut, that means you should just do it.
You realize people listening to this are going to be going out and singing karaoke tonight, and it's all your fault.
Well, as long as they don't also jump off balconies, you know. I don't know how to, make that line between, the things that scare you because they will harm you. But
of course,
we'll have to just kind of use our best judgment with that. But I've used that both in micro and macro levels every day. So, like right now, for example, China scares me. The idea of Chinese culture and people, it's so foreign to me. It's so I don't understand it. It's intimidating. And so I'm like, okay, well, that's what I need to be doing then. I need to kind of – so that I've been learning Chinese, and I can't wait to go live in China for at least 6 months because I want to face that fear head on and find out why I'm scared of it. The point being is that anything that scares you, once you do it, it no longer scares you.
Right? Of course, and you grow through it.
And that's your to-do list in life. But the another one I have that's kind of the flip side of the same coin is that whatever you're thinking, go do it. Like if there's an idea that you just can't get out of your head, that or just anything that's fascinating you, you just have to – that's what you should be doing. Don't say no to that to go say yes to the humdrum routine that you're not excited about. Like whatever is capturing your attention, you must go do that. So you kind of asked about, like, was CD Baby really an accident? It's like, I really was just pursuing my music and throwing myself into my music. But then all of a sudden, this idea of making a website became that new novel change in my life. And I was like, wow, I'd never made a website before. How's this? And it just captured me. And I found that I was up until, 2 a.m. every night. And my girlfriend was like, what are you coming to bed? Are you still awake? She's like, come on, come to bed, baby. And I'm like,
I got to jump in here and say there, I found it very interesting when I read your book. And I have to clarify for our listeners, because when most people say, yeah, I went and formed, did a website, you went out, bought the books and learned how to program and physically built the website.
Yeah.
That's like Are you serious? I read that and I was scratching my head going, you got to be kidding. I mean, I have no idea how to code anything. And I don't think that I have the desire either to learn that. But I was blown away that, yes, you're a musician. And while you're doing music, you're also building this website. Oh, and did I mention that you also went and studied and really built the website? And that was just like, wow.
I think that it's necessity is the best teacher, right? So if I would have taken a computer programming class in college, I probably would have fallen asleep during it. It's like, oh, this doesn't apply to anything I'm doing right now. But once you have necessity, once I had to learn how to make the site, at first I just built a very basic HTML little site that anybody could make after 20 minutes of study, right? Mm-hmm. And that's all CD Baby was in its first round. But then as people kept asking me to do things, saying, I really need to do a thing where you can show me all of my past orders, for example, I would find out that in order to do that, I had to learn programming. And people were really asking me to do this, and I had to do it. So, yeah, I just went out and bought a $25 book on PHP and MySQL programming, and I sat down and learned it. And
I'm impressed. I think that's just awesome. But I love these two things that you shared of whatever scares you, go do it, and whatever you're thinking, go do it.
Yeah.
Good stuff. And it's succinct, easy stuff that anyone can apply to their life right now in this moment.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, probably why your book will be such a huge success, is because it's the same way. It's very easy things that anyone that reads can improve their life because of it. You rock. What can I say? Derek,
thanks,
I'm really, really grateful for all the insights that you've shared with our listeners today. I'm going to ask you now to kind of give us your, what we call today's brilliance, in a summary. If you were to summarize your greatest wisdom of things that you've learned that you'd want to pass on someday to your kids, your grandkids, to those that you love, to those that you leave behind, what wisdom have you learned that you'd want to say, this is it, in a minute or two?
Sorry, I think it's actually the one that we just kind of closed on, honestly, I think is my the biggest lesson I've ever learned, is that idea of whatever scares you, go do it, has so many implications, because it means that fear is excitement, right? It's kind of like whatever excites you, go do it. But sometimes we forget that fear is a form of excitement. It's whatever you notice is giving you energy,
mm-hmm.
Is what you should be doing. And whatever you notice is sapping your energy, whatever makes you tired, you need to stop doing it immediately, because nothing is worth that. That if something is draining you, stop. Like, just stop doing it. And if it's one of those necessity things, like doing your taxes, well, then find somebody else that is excited about that. Because whatever drains you, there's somebody else somewhere who's excited about that. So find them and let them do that, so that you are spending your time just on what charges you up, what excites you. And I guess what I mean like by that, the hidden lesson is that fear is excitement. So yes, we should be doing whatever charges us up, and whatever scares you is something that's charging you up. And that's what you should be doing.
Awesome.
So just pay close attention to that compass in your gut that points one of two directions. Is this giving you energy, or is this sapping your energy? And whatever's sapping you, stop doing it immediately.
I agree. I love it. It's kind of like Jack Canfield says, if it ain't fun, don't do it. Period. Yeah. That's it. You know, it makes it really easy. Well, my last question for you, Derek, is one that I have had the opportunity to ask hundreds of luminaries, our youngest one being 6 and our oldest being 104. So, you know, you're smack there in the middle of this. And so what I really want to ask you is, if you had just one more thing that you could accomplish in your lifetime, what would it be?
Right now, my big one is I want to be fluent in Chinese. I'm really loving the process.
That's excellent.
I know I'm supposed to, you know, say that I'm supposed to, you know,
world peace,
save all
or,
this,
you know,
yeah,
cure
world
cancer.
Peace, save, cure cancer. But right now, what's fascinating me is I love learning Chinese, and that's my real answer. That's what's fascinating me these days.
That's fantastic. Now, how fluent are you? Can you say Something force in Chinese?
No, I mean, yeah, here's one little phrase I learned I like. 我现在不想看见事,
which oh means, my goodness. How do you do that?
I don't want to watch TV now.
Well, your selection of words, your phraseology, you know, of what you've chosen to share as your first thing is an interesting choice, but okay. That's very funny. Well, Derek, anything else you'd like to add in closing?
I'm a fan of what you're doing. The funny thing is when you asked to have this conversation, I'd actually already started saying no to all interviews. I'm completely just focused on some work and setting up my new company and really just focused on that. And I saw your Inspire Me Today website, and I just absolutely love what you're doing and just such a kindred. And thanks for having me on. I love what you're doing.
Thank you. You just made my whole day. For those of you listening, go buy the book, Anything You Want by Derek Sivers. And if you're listening to this while you're driving or you're working out at the gym on your MP3 player, just come on back to inspiremetoday.com, click on Luminaries, click on Derek Sivers, and all the links will be right there on the webpage for you so that you really don't have to think. You can just come buy the book and go do anything you want. Derek, thanks again for being with us. And to our listeners, thank you for spending part of your day with us. Come on back again next week. We'll bring you inspiration from another incredible luminary. And until then, remember, it's only when you have the courage to step off the ledge that you'll realize you've had wings all along. We love you. We're here for you. We'll see you again next week. And thanks again for stopping by.